and hopefully any senators that are within earshot. I do know that Senator Yee is in another committee meeting right now that's conflicting. Senator Shields had a pastoral duty, I'm remembering.
I think our ears are shot.
So, we need Senator George. So if you're in earshot and our ears are shot, come join us, please. Today, we are going to hear a couple of bills. I think we're going to start with 46, because we had begun with that bill on, was it yesterday?
No, day before. Was it last
Thursday?
Week?
Thursday, maybe?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Well, yeah. It wasn't that long ago, but we had a couple of bills in
the field. Right.
And we do now have amendments to that bill, and Representative Loken, do you want to kind of follow up?
Yeah. Actually, we also have a hand-engrossed copy here that Ellipo put together. I don't know if Representative Crummell is here, but there he is. And we have gone over these amendments, and there was some concern last hearing about, let's see if I can get down to them. First of all, I think that the change from the A5 amendments, maybe that's where we should start. The new Section 5 that comes in the dash fixers, there was concern that this property should be sold using the services, engaging the services of a licensed real estate broker or real estate organization to facilitate the sale. And that language is added in Section 5, and that would be in lines on page 2, lines 7, 8, and 9
of the dash,
of the dash 6.
6 amendment.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, that is one of the changes. Also, the Wilsonville tract property, which is not actually part of the damaged hospital property, as you can see from this map that has been provided to us by LFO, I guess, was removed from the bill. The Dash 5 amendments had included the Wilsonville tract, and that is no longer in the bill. We didn't. That seemed to be a question as to why that was in there, since it did not pertain to the damaged property. That has been removed. There was some discussion about how much was to be retained by DHR for use of community housing. That did not change. We discussed it, and we left it as not more than 10 acres, so that it is flexible, and mental health at this time, DDFC does not particularly feel that they would need that much ground, but it leaves that option there and the flexibility. I believe there were some technical changes on community housing trust account language. It had been entered in one spot here as, I think it's page 2, line 16-17 had been referred to as the fund, which is the portion of this money that is the earnings from the trust. So we corrected this to read the community housing trust account, because that pertains to the money that would be the proceeds of the sale and would go into a trust fund, and from that trust fund the earnings then would be deposited in, or trust account, and then the earnings would be deposited in the community housing fund for use for community housing and for maintaining the two existing mental health facilities in Eastern Oregon and Oregon State Hospital. So those are the main, those are the changes since we last reviewed the bill. And perhaps Representative Crummell may have another comment, if so.
For purpose of the work session, do you have another comment?
No.
Not a public hearing, it's a work session.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jerry Crummell, State Representative of House District 27. And my only comment is only as a co-sponsor of the bill and the fact that this is in my district, I concur with the amendments. On page 2, line 8, if you were inclined to change the shall to may, that would be fine. I know that that's something, though, that Representative Loken has some concerns about, and I am not going to make that a life or death type of an issue. It would potentially give DAS some flexibility from the standpoint of if they had a buyer that stepped up to the plate, and if a realtor didn't really do anything, then they wouldn't be inclined to have to pay the whatever the percentage of commission would be, whether it's 3, 5, or 7, or I don't know with a project this big how what kind of a commission is involved. But on the other hand, I'm not going to make a big issue out of it because I think that the important thing is that the bill been amended, I think, to be able to gain your support, and I hope that you will support it. Thank you.
And just a comment about the shall or the may. Even if a willing buyer came forward, there could be a negotiated agreement between the license broker as well, where they would help with the sale, because there are things with the sale that might do well to have a licensed broker, and because that's often done in real estate sales anyway, when somebody comes and they know they have a buyer before they list it, and then they might be accepted, or the licensed broker may agree to some lesser amount, mm-hmm. and that would be up to the DAS really to determine, and that broker could accept or reject that, and they could go on to another one that would accept something that would be acceptable to DAS, having not been at least finding the buyer. It still might be work for the broker to do. So. Thank you. Appreciate your help on that.
Thank
Are there further comments or questions?
I just wanted to mention, too, that I was talking over the language here. I would prefer to have it remain shall engage because I think that gives a definite direction. And also, I agree with the chair that as we reread that language, and as LFO and Sheila and I were talking about this, it does leave, I believe, the flexibility needed to deal with a broker on the terms of a sale. Commission, rate of commission, and so on.
And I would just say, too, this may not, I don't know if you've heard from the governor's office.
What I would
say to members who are here, that one of the governor's staff was talking with us after our meeting last time and helping us kind of come to an agreement about how this can be written. And so what's the council's here, and DAS is here. DHR was here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at any rate, we were all kind of huddled here and decided what would be some amenable things. So
that's correct.
And I would say that if the other thing that I should mention is if the governor would want to go ahead with a prison siding at Damish, he would be able to veto this bill anyway. In case anybody's thinking this ties any hands for that reason, I just want to make that clear. Sheila, do you have anything else to add?
I would just say that
with the Dash 6 amendments, the fiscal impact remains indeterminate. There were a couple of issues. One is that how much would be coming from the sale. We don't know that, and so we're not advocating any expenditure limitations for the agency be added at this point. There's the issue of maintenance costs. Both DOC and mental health have some funding in their budgets for maintenance costs. Once it's known when the transfer occurs and who will have responsibility for maintenance and when a sale might occur, they could come back to the emergency board if needed at a later date. But again, we would recommend no budget adjustments at this time.
And should I just ask one other question, Representative Wolken might mm-hmm. ask too. There was a question here about the Department of Corrections and the exchange.
Conveyance.
Is that in there that we're taking care of them?
The amendments
yes.
do allow for the costs incurred by corrections and transferring the property back to DAS to be for the proceeds that go into the account to be reduced by the amount of those costs.
Okay.
So that those costs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, that is in subsection. Let's see. It's on page 2 and section 5, subsection 2. It speaks of this selling or otherwise conveying real property.
Okay, I thought it was in
there. To death. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any further discussion or questions? Senator George.
I'll be questioned at this point on page 2, down line 8. Did you folks talk about that? Did the shell engage as possible? You did talk about that?
Yes.
What was the decision?
Shell.
Okay. Was there any additional language added in there?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Reason why, basically, did you want to address that, Representative Wilson?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Yes. The reason why we determined, rather than may, and have additional language is if there would be a willing buyer,
mm-hmm.
EAS could still negotiate the fee of a licensed broker, and it would probably be a reduced fee because there was a willing buyer that
mm-hmm.
came to DAS or whatever.
But they
and they would just negotiate that.
But they would still be held to equal as
yes.
equal or to the fair market value.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That we need.
Yeah. We don't need the discount.
Oh no.
No, you don't want to either.
No, we don't want to do that.
Okay, if there are no further questions or discussion, Representative Loken moves the A6 amendment to House Bill 3446. Their discussion. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, the amendment passes. Representative Loken moves House Bill 3446 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions or discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 3446 moves to the full committee. I will carry on full committee. Representative Wilson, will you carry on the House floor?
Yes.
And I'll carry it on the Senate floor.
And, Madam Chair, I wish to thank the committee very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for all your
mm-hmm.
representation. Okay, now we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 919. It's relating to community-based services for persons with developmental disabilities. And at long last, we'll hear from Catherine Waite and Barry Cass. If you'll come forward and tell us what this is about.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Catherine White, and I'm with the Oregon Developmental Disabilities Council, and here today as a part of the DD Coalition. For more than 10 years, advocates and families and policymakers in Oregon have struggled to adequately meet the needs of people with developmental disabilities and their families. Even though at times we've been a grossly underfunded system, Oregon has developed some of the most creative ways of innovative services models. In the 1995-97, the long-range plan was developed, And that created a blueprint for the closure of Fairview, for the creation and investment of community-based services, some dollars directed to the wait list, direct care wages, regional support services. With small amounts of dollars, local communities, families, advocates, and local governments have developed some local services to start addressing some of the issues of flexibility and capacity development at the local level. Despite all of this, Oregon continues to have hundreds and even thousands of individuals who receive very minimal services, inadequate support. Oregon has one of the longest wait lists in the United States, though I want to point out that Oregon is not the only state to have people waiting for services, adults with disabilities at home with aging parents. It is an issue that many states are beginning to confront. And the issue is people who desperately need services and limitations in resources. We believe, and what we're requesting, is that it's time to begin another stage of planning. We moved the boxes around during the long-range plan. We believe it's now time to really look very seriously at how we can begin to serve very effectively and efficiently the people that we have within the limited resources. I've been working in the legislative process for over 10 years. We're not seeing vast amounts of new dollars. We don't believe, as an advocacy community, that we're going to see vast amounts of new dollars. And it's time for our system, while we're doing very creative things at the local level, we've got to start facing some other issues. We believe we need to look at issues like prioritization of services. Who gets services? Access to services. Services so that you move from one county to the other. This is a system that's a county-based system. That there are equal access to services from one county to another. We believe that it's time to have some very, very serious discussions in this arena. Who should get access to 24-hour service? Who should no longer potentially be eligible for services? We believe this bill is important because we feel that all the stakeholders need to come to the table to have these kinds of discussions. Let me give you an example of one of the issues that we feel needs to be addressed. People who have, and using the example of people with cerebral palsy, we have two systems that serve people with disabilities in the state, senior and disabled services and mental health and developmental disability system. If you have cerebral palsy and you need assistance in eating, dressing, toileting, activities of daily living, and your IQ is, say, 75. You receive services through senior and disabled services. And because your needs are so high, you're entitled to those services. You receive those services. If your IQ is potentially 64, 62, you have more mental retardation, you receive services through the Developmental Disabilities Program. You may sit on a wait list for years and receive no services. These are the kinds of issues that we believe deserve very thoughtful discussion involving all the parties. The Coalition has made a real commitment to this issue. The Developmental Disabilities Council has made a commitment to this issue. We will provide any kind of support that's necessary to help develop this plan and assure the involvement of the appropriate stakeholders. We've talked with the division about this, and it's our understanding that there is not a fiscal impact and that any kinds of additional issues, the advocacy community has been willing to provide any kind of financial support that might be needed.
Questions of Senator Yu?
I have a question, Madam Chair. Kathleen, is this going to be duplicative of what the long-range planning is going to be because I'm just saying when Fairview is closed, there is money from the sale of Fairview, and that money is to be used to reduce wait list and help provide for community services for the Fairview residents. Are these two going to be the same?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, it's my understanding that the dollars from the sale of Fairview are to be targeted to capital expenses. In other words, helping keep the community group homes a roof on them and doing adequate repairs. This is not going to be duplicative of anything that was done in the long-range plan. This is fine-tuning what was already done in the long-range plan in terms of the general direction that we're going with that long-range plan, recognizing that people are going to be in the community. We continue to have a lot of people that we do not provide services to. We're recognizing that there will always be certain limitations on our resources, and we need to look at who we provide services to, how we decide what kind of services those people should be able to have.
Yeah, I would like to, Madam Chair, hear Barry Kaft's comments.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Barry Kaft, Administrator of the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. Senator Yee, if I understand the intent of your question, the long-range plan did take the operating budget at Fairview, independent of the physical plant and its eventual sale and dedication to a trust, and reallocate that to community services.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue, and all of those dollars will be spent on community services. That's the commitment we made, and the response from the legislature was to adopt the long-range plan as a budget. But it doesn't take us all the way to rationalizing the decision-making process. I think, and if I may, this bill really says on behalf of the legislature, we need to take the next step and review the entire range of policies, given that we won't have a Fairview in the future. And the entitlement, lest it be taken in out of context, is that years ago everybody went to the institution, and that was the entitlement. And today, we simply need to revisit the entire range of services and how we're going to equitably make those decisions in the future. I think it's a direction that's consistent with the steps we've taken in the past. It may require some reinvestment of existing resources to make the system work better, increase access without exploding the cost of the system. But it does raise some very important issues about entitlement, which Catherine's pointed out. And I think it's going to confront us with or without the bill, and I think it's a mark of legislative leadership to take this as a matter of state policy. Incidentally, there is no, Madam Chair, there is no fiscal impact. We will accomplish this through sampling and statistical projections opposed to a 100% review of people on the wait list, and I think we can get an estimate that makes sense.
That was my understanding as well, that there was not.
I have another question. The long range planning we looked at last session, talking about reducing the wait list. And here your plan is also reduce wait list. So how would the two differ from each other?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I think as I'm understanding the bill, and perhaps Catherine, this is a bill that we did not have this bill introduced on behalf of the division, that this is not, the goal of the bill isn't to reduce the wait list per se, but to make the decision-making process reflect an equitable and rational process so that families, as Catherine pointed out, one family and another may differ only by a few points of IQ and have very different benefits from the state. That simply is not something we can tolerate in a post-institutional environment. So I think the net effect would be to reallocate resources dramatically. It would be a highly charged set of decisions, but in the long run, I don't think it's avoidable. I think we'll be forced that way through federal or even state court decisions eventually.
Catherine,
do you want to make any comment about that?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I think that one of the things that with the dollars that were available through Fairview, we have tried to provide supports and services to assure that supports and services go to families to assist them the best that can be done and to serve as many people as possible. They've been providing respite care and sometimes in-home support and that sort of thing. Many families are still waiting for 24-hour services. They still want, ultimately, for their family member to be in a group home. And so even though they're receiving services and they're not in crisis, they're still on a wait list. One of the things that we're looking at this bill is how do you make a rational decision on who is going to get that service, who is going to get access to a group home, because we don't have enough group homes, and we probably won't have enough group homes. How are we going to know who's going to get that service? So with the money that came out of the long-range plan, we've been able to help a lot of families, and a lot of families, that's really what they wanted. They may have indicated that they wanted to be in a group home, but having someone come into their house and help them is something that is satisfactory at this point. We see this as a bill to kind of move us along to that second stage of figuring out who gets services and how.
So, Madam Chair, follow-up question. So in this planning, you're going to set up criteria in prioritization, which ones get priority in moving into group homes if they're available.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I think that's one of the things that needs to be discussed. And as an advocate, I wish it were not what we had to talk about, but I think that it is something that we realistically have to make it a fair system and an equitable system.
One more question. So are you going to set up a timeline that this plan will be finished and put that in phases so that all the people on the wait list, hopefully, will be served?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I sure would love that, but I don't think it is ever going to happen that everybody will receive services.
Yeah, unfortunately, that isn't what this bill does. This bill really sets up a process to help in the decision making,
right?
And you know how that's going to work. And that this plan, as far as this plan, they're supposed to report to the Legislative Assembly no later than February 1, 2000. So, if you are looking at your at the summary there,
mm-hmm.
That is not the bill.
Oh, this is not the bill.
No. If you will read the effects of the amendment, it says that the entire bill has been changed. It replaces whatever you're looking at in that summary. That the staff. This is a different staff summary than our LFO.
Okay, do we have a new?
Well, you have the bill in front of you. It really is not very long. It's a page long.
The AM growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Madam Chair,
Representative Loken.
I think this is a good good thing to do because there are so many types of developmental disability and needs vary, and I think it does require a better process than we now have, and I would encourage.
I would agree with that. I think that this is setting up some criteria that some decision-making can be made and sort of methodology. So we want to serve, and I'm sure that Mr. Cass wants to, too. I mean, the state wants to, and certainly the advocates want, as many people to be served by this as possible. You just need to have an organized way of going about making the decision who will and cogent way of doing that, and that's what this bill tries to a setup here. I'm not sure I should or will. So, if there are no further questions, what I think I will do, is there anybody else who would like to give public testimony on this? Then I will close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 919, and I will move Senate Bill 919 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Are there any objections?
Is there any amendments?
No.
No amendments.
If there are no objections, and hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 919 passes to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Senator Fisher,
yes, ma'am.
Would you carry 919 on the full committee?
I would be glad to.
Good. And Representative Wilson, would you carry it on the House floor?
All right.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. He can be Senate floor for tonight.
Madam Chair, did you vote without me?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Would you like to have your vote recorded?
I would.
Senator George.
Have you not it open?
Would you please make sure that we can help that Senator George is a
high
vote?
Well, we voted in without objection.
We did,
mm-hmm.
But that means everybody is aye. That was here. I guess they didn't know.
We didn't do a roll call.
That's the truth, interview.
Just assumed I was aye.
That's right. Okay. I have some, I'm sorry, not all the members. I just thought everybody is here. I want to tell you about our upcoming schedule. On Thursday, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, we are going to be hopefully completing the DHR budget. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, this committee will be meeting. We will meet at 1 p.m. on Saturday. And I'm not sure whether it's 1 or 3 on Thursday and Friday. But at any rate, I would really ask that, I mean, I would ask that you come and you're on time tomorrow and Friday particularly. I believe that'll be Friday. We will meet, I think, directly after the full committee meets. And I don't think that we have a real heavy schedule, just a couple of budgets and several bills.
I'm sure.
I understand your problem on Saturday.
No, on Friday, the upcoming minute schedule is right after the education sub, right after. So.
And you're on the education sub now.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get...
You could have them in the adjoining room.
Well, maybe we'll have to get the co-chairs in here, or the president or the speaker or something, if it's necessary.
I won't be here on Saturday.
Okay, then we'll do the same that day, too. And...
Do you know what's coming up on Saturday? Do you know?
I think other bills. If we're not through with the DHR budget and insurance school governing board... We'll be doing that on Saturday, but I expect that we will finish with that.
You know,
on Sunday, we have full committee at 4.
We have Sunday?
Yeah.
Ooh,
at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock. Full committee.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question? The DHR budget, you mean that's the full budget?
Yes, ma'am.
That we will be considering.
Well, you know, we've done
all the pieces
to it.
Yeah.
And we're hopefully going to finish it and send it.
Okay.
So, I think primarily what is left is your health plan.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
And then Monday, we'll have full in the afternoon or evening, too. So.
Oh, we have full on Sunday and full again on Monday,
yeah.
Oh.
We're going to leave.